for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or caving the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah. Woo! This is the arm chair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah, sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 213 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are here to do our Everyone Hates Division Previews, the NFC and AFC South Mock Draft. Of course, we are live every Wednesday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, syndicated in all major podcast networks and streaming the GoInto app for iOS and Android. I am here with my fill-in co-host tonight. Ryan, unfortunately, could not make the show tonight, but our guest from last week was more than willing to fill in this week, Mr. Chris Moshinsky. Of course, he's a writer for Going for Two, co-host of the Practice Squad podcast, and will also co-host the Dynasty Gambit this season. Thursday night's pregame. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Jeff? Got big shoes to fill tonight with Ryan not being able to be here, but
not that big.
Up and join us.
Not that big. Don't worry about it. Not that big.
I got a big foot, so I could probably take over.
All right. Also joining us tonight, also from Going for Two. It's a whole Going for Two party tonight. Jay Christensen, he is a writer for Going for Two, host of the Brother of Dynasty podcast, and will also be co-hosting our newest show this fall, the Fantasy Cheat Sheet on Fridays. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, Jeff? Thanks for having me. First time on the show. I'm excited to be here to talk about the South.
Definitely. Glad to have you on the show. And finally, we have Eric Johnson, who's also a writer at Going for Two, host of the Fantasy France podcast, and will be joining our Sunday morning pregame show this fall with Gladys and company. You can follow him. I forgot to give everyone's Twitter handle here. Chris, you could follow at the Commish FF. You could follow Jay at JC underscore DFF. And of course, you can follow Eric at Fantasy Barbecue. What's up, Eric?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Is it going to be fun talking about these South divisions? We're going to find out.
Brutal is the word I'd probably use there. All right, so real quick, Jay and Eric, we'll go to you first, Jay. Give us a little rundown of what you do in the fantasy community, how long you've been doing this, and just a little bit about yourself.
Sure, thanks. Been playing fantasy football probably since college, so it's like 17, 18 years. Show my age a little bit. started Dynasty, which I really fell in love with about 5 years ago. And then getting into sort of content creation kind of happened a little over a year ago. Me and my brothers were talking Dynasty anyways, watching film. Pandemic hits, we do what any normal person does, you know, start a podcast. Start doing that weekly, just actually broadcasting our stuff, starting small. And then last April, it was like, I want to do a little bit more. And I got hooked up with you, Jeff, started writing for Going for Two, I think, in April, and doing it since then, having a blast, doing the Twitter thing, getting to know people, and looking forward to doing the Fantasy Cheat Sheet Show in the fall, the NFL season, so really excited for that. So that's kind of my journey from redraft all the way to kind of podcasting here.
All right, yeah, good stuff. And yeah, I'm excited about that Fantasy Cheat Sheet Show on Friday. It's going to be a little different format than what people are used to, so I kind of like the concept there. Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. I think I've been playing fantasy football since about 2004. I've really, really, really got into it around 2016, I want to say. 2015, 2016, something like that. And as far as the content creation thing goes, I actually started doing power ranking videos for my home league. And I had been listening to podcasts for, I don't know, a couple years at that point. And I was like, this seems like a fun thing to do. And then I got on Twitter. I'd been on Twitter since like 2013, on and off, doing different things, but never in the fantasy football kind of space. So yeah, I got on there and then I got hooked up with you, Jeff. I forget where I saw the ad or whatever it was. And I guess I've been going for a little over a year at this point. So
yeah, I think you're coming up on 2 years. Fun. Yeah.
Good it's stuff. Been fun.
Good stuff. All right. So we got a jam packed show tonight. I just got one quick thing I want to plug. We kicked off our DFS charity contest, our third annual Grinders Championship, as we call it. If you want to sign up for that contest, it's at goingfor2.com/grinder21. It's free to enter. We just ask that you donate to our GoFundMe, which is a link in that art in that on that page for you. You get a chance to win this. It's the championship belt right there. It's the 2021 version.
Nice.
It's black and gold. You can't really tell on the screen there, but it's black and gold. It's really nice. But it's a lot of fun. We've already raised, I think the contest has been live less than 48 hours, and we've already raised almost $500. The goal was $1,200, which is what we did last year. So we're already well on our pace to beating last year's goal. So, again, goingfor2.com/grinder21 to sign up and join. Let's get to the news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
News and notes, as always, is brought to you by the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Everybody hates bad trade offers, right? No one wants to be that guy. Never make a bad trade offer again with the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Visit goingfor2.com/DTC to sign up for $15 a year. That's right. All you do is visit goingfor2.com/DTC. Get the best trade calculator for only $15 a year. Stop guessing. Start calculating. All right, so we've got some big news here. It broke a couple days ago that Carson Wentz is not going to be playing for at least 5 weeks, if not longer. Up to 12 weeks is what they're saying. And I want to get everyone's opinion on this. And Chris, I'll go to you first here. So if you own Carson Wentz in Dynasty right now, like what are you trying to do with him? Are you just at this point just hold him and see what happens? Or what are you trying to do with Chris or Carson right now, Chris?
Man, I had high hopes for Carson Wentz going to Indy this year. And then his troubles with injuries seem to follow him there. So, man, and with Dynasty, it always depends on, you know, where your team is at, if you're competing or not. But, I mean, you got to probably hold him. It's not like he was an elite-tier quarterback where someone's going to, you know, want to trade for him and take him off your hands for cheap. He's already kind of cheap. So you're better off just holding out right now and seeing. Hopefully he gets back sooner rather than later and taking it from there.
Yeah, let's hope that it wasn't your QB1, right? Let's hope you had a better option there at QB.
You're probably hurting as it is if he's your QB1 already, so it just doesn't help, but not much you can do at this point.
Yep, agreed. Eric, tell me about the pieces around there. Let's talk about the passing options here, some of the passing options with Carson Wentz. Are you downgrading all them guys with Jacob Eason getting the start here?
I think you absolutely have to. A fourth-round rookie, excuse me. sorry, guys. You got a fourth round, or he's not a rookie, but anyways, fourth round pick. He's pretty statuesque in the pocket. Also, you had Quentin Nelson go down, probably the best offensive lineman in the league right there. Potentially less time to throw the ball, a lot more pressure on him as well. So, I mean, I'm down. I didn't have high hopes anyways for any of the passing options, except maybe Nyheim Hines. So I'm not really – I'm downgrading him a tick, but – it's not that they were really high on my to draft list anyways.
Fair enough. And I'm going to roll in that injury there to the offensive lineman that he just mentioned and the passing options not being as good. Let's talk about Jonathan Taylor a little bit, Jay. What are your thoughts on what happens with him now?
Yeah, the Wentz thing got me a tiny bit concerned, and then the Quentin Nelson thing really put it over the top. For Jonathan Taylor, that was unfortunate. So where I wasn't as concerned, now I'm probably bumping him down in my ranks a little bit just because there's so much uncertainty there. Nelson, same thing. It's like 5 to 12 weeks. Same thing as Wentz. It's really weird. All these foot injuries there. That offensive line, which was ranked like one of the best in the league, now is getting a little thin. Eric Fisher still coming off the Achilles who they had picked up. So whatever depth that they have there is going to have to step up. And if they get any more injuries, they're already thin. So I worry about that. I think they'll lean on the run as best as they can. I mean, you got Jacob Eason in there. You're going to have to lean on that running game with all those backs. But man, it's just, I'd be looking for maybe a safer situation or, some of the guys around there. That's why I'm bumping them down my ranks a little bit.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I think I've moved him down a few spots already. Still, I think he's still one of those top running backs. You want to own him, and if he falls to a certain point, you draft him. But, if I'm splitting hairs with, one of these other top guys, I'm probably taking one of those guys over Jonathan Taylor just because of the situation. Got a few minor notes here, and we'll just give each one of you all to talk about it. We'll go to you first on this one, Jay. Kenny Golladay and his hammy. This guy always seems to find a way to get injured somehow, some way.
Oh, geez, yeah. Kenny G, man. He had a hamstring strain last year, too. He even had one back in 2017. I was checking his injury history because he does always seem to be hurt. Not any good omens coming out of Giants camp. They had a brawl, team-wide brawl, the other day. The offense, they're talking about how bad it looks. That's the reports I'm hearing. Usually you're hearing glowing reports in all these camps, and Giants are like, I don't know what's going on there. So just nothing sounds great in New York there. And Kenny was a guy I was kind of lukewarm on anyways. He can be an alpha, but just going to a new team, Daniel Jones, we don't know where he's at. So I was a little bit touchy on him. I was comfortable if you get into like that wide receiver three territory, like wide receiver 24, 25, 26, somewhere in there. But already with the hamstring, not a great sign there. So not moving him up anywhere in my ranks at all. And I was already lukewarm on him.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I actually sold him previous to the injury, post-trade. I sold him in one of my leagues, and I think I moved him and Laviska Shenault for a first-round pick that ended up being Kyle Pitts. So I'm actually sitting pretty right now. I kind of feel good about that move. So, all right, let's look at some running backs here. Michael Carter has been reported to be a step above the other running backs there. I do think there's still going to be some kind of committee, Chris. But are you buying the Michael Carter hype, a rookie there in Jets camp over those other two running backs that are there?
I am. I mean, as a Jets fan, I'm pretty excited to hear that. I mean, I got to be, again, cautiously optimistic and see what happens. But, I mean, Tevin Coleman, you know, he's not a stranger to this coaching staff. He was with them in Atlanta. He's with them in San Francisco. So he definitely has a role in this offense. But the fact that Michael Carter is, like, way ahead of these guys, which – I mean, he should be ahead of Tevin Coleman. I mean, the guy's been around forever. And then LaMichael Perine, you know, he wasn't too great last year in some opportunities. So it wasn't terrible, but, you know, doesn't have what it takes. So this is good news for the Jets, obviously. And I do believe that Michael Carter is above these guys at this point.
Yeah. Are you moving him up with this news, or did you already kind of have him where you think you're going to keep him at?
I have him as like a flex play right now. I hope this offense is a lot better than it has been in the last couple of years. But there is still going to be a committee. That's just what like this Shanahan type offense is going to do. So still, I'm not buying it and putting him as like an RB2 right now. But he's still like a flex play for me.
All right, fair enough. And the last injury we have here is another rookie, Devonta Smith, you know, who coming into the to the league as being quote unquote a small guy, kind of slight. He's dealing with an injury now, too. Eric, what are your thoughts on Smith?
So I guess I'm one of those BMI elitist guys. I never really held him in high regard. I know he won the Heisman. That's amazing. That's also college. He's 165 pounds. There's been some pictures out there. I don't know if they're photoshopped or not, but, I mean, he's running on toothpicks.
Yeah,
so,
saw
I mean,
that.
Honestly, I hope the kid, you know, the guy, I hope, you know, wish him luck and everything, but I'm fully out on him. Especially he's not going to get some of those reps that rookies desperately need in training camp as well. So, I'm out on Devonta Smith for sure.
Yeah, I was out on him already, too. I actually, in that same draft I was talking about, traded back. I had the 106, traded it back to get Bateman because I wasn't buying Devonta Smith. I just didn't feel like that offense is not really a passing offense on top of the fact that he's a slight guy. So who knows how long he could take him to get sort of acclimated to the NFL, and now he's hurt already. So definitely agree with you on that one. All right, so as I mentioned at the top here, it is what we call Everyone Hates Division Previews, and the reason I call it that is because me as a podcast listener, as long as I've been listening to podcasts, I always hated division previews because they only talk about the top-tier guys. I know Christian McCaffrey's good already. I know Josh Allen's good already. I don't need you to tell me that. I don't need you to preview that. So the way we do it here, we do a two-round Superflex mock draft, and we're going to go through a round-robin style. And, you know, those first couple of picks are pretty easy. But when you get down to that mid-second, you know, late second round, as you'll see, we'll be covering some guys that maybe, you know, be off your radar in redraft leagues. But if you're playing Dynasty Deep League, you may want to listen to some of these guys. Let's go ahead and kick it off here.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. And we will kick it off with the NFC South. And Jay, you have the 101 here. Remember, it is Superflex. Who are you going with here with the 101?
Man, even if super flex, I'm going to take the, I guess, the easy pick here. I want to tell you how good Christian McCaffrey is. he's the RB1.
I already know that.
And redraft, so easy pick here.
For me. Definitely an easy pick.
Although super flex, you got to think about it again.
Yeah, I think it's still the easy pick there. I think that even, you know, in a full-on draft, he's, you know, considered to be up there with that Patrick Mahomes type. But I think I agree with you there. I think it's Christian McCaffrey if we're just doing NFC South. Eric, you got the 102.
I make this pick with a bit of trepidation. It's Alvin Kamara. I don't think that's really going to surprise anybody. But in those 4 weeks that Drew Brees did not play and Taysom Hill started, he was the RB15 in points per game. It was his receiving line, 16 targets, 10 receptions, 51 yards, 0 touchdowns. 10 targets and 7 receptions came in one game. That game against that random game against Philadelphia where they were just down the entire, literally all 4 quarters. So I make it with some trepidation. However, I can't justify Tom Brady over him. I almost picked. Well, I'll let y'all get to some of the other receivers, but I like Alvin Kamara right there.
All right, good stuff. Going to you, Chris, with the 103. Are you taking a quarterback here?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm glad Eric took Kamara because he probably would have dropped past me too for the same reasons that he already stated. Yes, the receivers look kind of nice, but with the quarterbacks and how awful they could be in this division, I'm going to take Tom Brady.
There you go. Yeah, taking the aspect of the fact that the quarterbacks aren't very good, so if you're going to get one, you might as well get one of the good ones. Yeah, exactly. All right, back to you for the 104, Jay.
Yeah, I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going to go to receiver now. First receiver off the board here. Calvin Ridley, I mean, he's balled out the last couple of years. 4th overall receiver last year, even 5th in average. Guy gets red zone targets. Gets down the field. No Julio this year. I love Calvin Ridley this year, so I would take him here at the 4th pick.
Yeah, I love Calvin Ridley as well. I think that the offense will be a little bit improved, and I do think that they're still going to pass a ton because that defense is still terrible. So I agree with the Calvin Ridley pick there. All right, we are at the 105, Eric.
Taking Chris Godwin on this one. We said it was a full PPR. I want the slot receiver in Bruce Arians' offense. It's just he's already shown top. I think he was a number 2 receiver in 2019. So if I was hoping Calvin Ridley would get to me, but I'll take the second best thing.
Yeah, Godwin had that big year 2 years ago and show what he really can do. And I think another year with Tom Brady and the fact that they'll have, you know, obviously a training camp and everything else will definitely help them. So yeah, Chris Godwin, great pick there. 106, Chris.
I like Godwin too. Another good pick. So I'm gonna go back to Atlanta, and I'm gonna grab Kyle Pitts here. I think he should have a big role in this offense. You know, obviously as Jay said, Julio was gone, a lot of vacated targets there, and Pitts is just like this freak athlete coming out of college. Everyone is hyped up for him. So I don't think he's gonna disappoint. Especially in this NFC South draft here.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw the video on Twitter of the catch that he made just recently in camp. You know, anything this kid does, it seems to be hyped up beyond anything else. I mean, it was not a routine catch. It was a good catch, but I mean, it wasn't super spectacular. But yeah, anything this kid does right now is gold. We are at the 107, Jay.
So you sniped me there, Chris. I wanted Pitts to fall to me. Another note on Godwin. I like that pick too. Broken finger last year, still 16 fantasy points per game. Mm-hmm. Guy basically got a broken hand. So that's a good pick. If we're taking Pitts and Ridley this high, I got to take Matt Ryan. Just kind of underrated quarterback that gets 4,000, you know, 4,500 yards really every year, and throws the ball a ton. I think 600 attempts every year the last 3. They just chuck the ball all over the place because the defense isn't great, as you said, Jeff. And that's a throwing team. So Matt Ryan should probably do what he did the last 3 years again this year.
Yeah, I think there's a couple consecutive years of him over 4,000 yards. You can pretty much chalk him up for that. And this offense is going to be passing a ton. I mean, even with Mike Davis in the backfield, he's a pass-catching running back. So I think the same thing. It's just going to be a passing offense. All right, Eric, we're up to you at the 108.
Snipe me, Jay. Got me right before that. So I'm going to take, I guess I'm going to complete the Bucks. I guess the duo, we'll say, of receivers. Mike Evans, 6 straight seasons with 1,000 yards. He's almost a lock for double-digit touchdowns as much as that team is going to throw the ball. He is the big-bodied guy in the red zone. Let me get all that Mike Evans.
Yeah, it's crazy how much hate he had this past year because, oh, he only catches touchdowns. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, he got 14 of them. I'll take it. So
he did have the two-touchdown game. Yep. I saw that today. I think it was that was his line one game. That's fantastic.
Yep, exactly. All right, we are at the 109, Chris.
All right, well, speaking of, let's see here. You know, it's tough now, but I think we got to, you know, I don't like Sam Darnold. I'm not taking him, not him, but I'm going to go DJ Moore here. I mean, the guy puts up solid numbers every year. Not a big touchdown guy, though, right? But, I mean, he's going to get the ball, I'd assume, in a it should be trailing. So I'll take DJ Moore, the last wide receiver one here on the board.
Yeah, Ryan, my co-host, is a big DJ Moore fan, and he's been pumping him up pretty much all offseason, saying that if this guy caught just a couple more touchdowns a year, we'd be putting him in that elite tier. He just needs to catch touchdowns, right. And if he can do that, then, yeah, definitely agree that that's a good pick there. All right, we are at the 110, and we are at you, Jay.
Starting to get dicier, but still some good guys here. I'll take the chance on Darnold here in Superflex. I don't feel great about it, but I feel better than the situation in New Orleans with quarterbacks. It's close with some other guys here, but 24, never really had a great chance. Not that he's played well, but that New York Jets situation was probably the worst situation he could have been in. System and weapons upgrade, so give him a shot this year. Cross your fingers.
Good stuff. And real quick here, we had a comment in the chat, and I thought it was a Twitter troll, and then I saw the last name, and I recognized it. I was kind of like, oh, that's the same last name as Jay. Your Devonta Smith take was garbage. I guess maybe your brother, Joshua Christensen.
Oh, Josh is must be Josh. He's a Devonta Smith truther, so we'll have to take that offline with Eric and him. Maybe they can have a debate on your on Twitter sometime.
There you go. All right, we are at the 111, and we're back to you, Eric.
All right, so try to go a couple different ways here. There's somebody I really, really believe in, and this is Superflex. So I'm just going to make, a flag plant here. Taysom Hill. When Drew Brees was injured, Taysom Hill was the starter. Oh, Jameis didn't know the playbook. That was in week 11. I mean, come on now. He was the quarterback six in those four games. If I knew he was 100% going to be the starter, I would take him above Matt Ryan. Like, no problem on that. So I really am all in on Taysom Hill. I've got him in several dynasty leagues, so that can really blow up in my face. But Taysom Hill, love it.
Yeah, Twitter's been so unkind to poor Jameis Winston. Y'all see the stumble today that made it. Oh, I mean, God. They went everywhere. Bleacher Report had it. ESPN had it. It was like, man, they are following this kid around just waiting for him to mess up, it seems.
I mean, he has those crazy, weird workouts.
He does.
Too. I mean, what in the world?
Yep. Love it, but hate it.
Exactly. It's good for us. I feel bad for him sometimes because, I mean, he got to put up a lot of shit. But some of it he brought onto himself, so I guess you could take that how you will. All right, we're up at the 112. Chris, you got the back-to-back to kick off the second round as well, so go ahead and give us both your picks here.
Yeah, my plan was just to take both New Orleans quarterbacks and lock those guys in there, but... Winston and standalone value, no thank you. I'm not going to mess with that now. So I'll stay in Carolina for the first pick, and I'll take Sam Darnold's best friend from New York and Robbie Anderson. Because in case DJ Moore fails, Robbie Anderson will exceed. I mean, I don't know, both of them have a shot at week to week putting up big numbers, but I know Anderson will have some with Darnold. And, tough one. The running backs, there's so many running backs left, but I don't think quite yet. I know Michael Thomas is out, but I'm probably going to just take him off the board here just because if he comes back at some point late, you know, middle of the season here, October, hopefully, you're going to get wide receiver one numbers most likely.
Yeah, he could be one of those like secret weapon kind of guys at the end of the season that you put in, you know, all of a sudden your team looks so much better because you got him at the cheap price. He comes back and he puts up wide receiver one numbers and you're golden. All right, at the 202, Eric, you are up.
You mentioned running backs. I mean, the last viable running back, at least in my mind, is Mike Davis. He has nobody else there. He's been the talk of he's the new king of Quad Town, right? Up to that picture yeah. earlier this offseason. Yep. I do think he's a Jag, just another guy. But give me the volume on a really, what I consider to be, I think it's going to be a really good offense. I'm super happy with that there at the 202 or 201, 202.
202, yeah. Sometimes volume trumps talent. If he gets the volume, that's really all you need in fantasy football. It doesn't have to be super talented. If he gets the volume, he's good to go. 203, Jay.
203. Man, Davis, yeah, that's a good pick there. Although I can't believe they haven't brought someone else in there in Atlanta. It's crazy that they're going with Davis, but I wanted to pick Winston, then I saw that tackle dummy thing today, and I can't do it. I'm going to go with a safe. I think Antonio Brown's pretty safe. I think that's a three-headed monster there in Tampa Bay. He was really good when he came in this second half of the year. Tom Brady likes throwing to him. He spreads it around anyways. So I think they're each going to have some big games. This season where they kind of take turns a little bit. He'll be the third guy, but I think he'll still be solid for fantasy. And he's also a guy you could get super late in redraft situations. Not a bad trade target for dynasty contenders too, just to get a guy who can get you over 10 points.
Yeah, and the good thing about being the third guy is you get the third best cornerback to cover you. So right. That's definitely an advantage for him. All right, we're up to 204, Chris.
I'm going to have to take Ronald Jones. I know Eric took Mike Davis, and I Ronald Jones, he put up almost 1,000 yards on the ground last year. I know playoff Lenny took over and everyone's on that right now, but I think Ronald Jones, and I was not on him at all last year before the season started. But he kind of grew on me as I saw him play more. He's pretty explosive. He's good with the ball. He had a good amount. I lost it here. Yeah. We're 5 yards per carry. So when they're running the ball, I think you get more Ronald Jones. So I'll take him here at the 2-4.
Yeah,
and it should have a chance for a 1,000-yard season. I mean, why not?
Yeah, and it should be a pretty good offense, too. We just took all the receivers for this team already. So, I mean, if he gets a couple red zone touches, gets a couple touchdowns, can definitely see him. And I've been doing a lot of my DFS research for preseason because I'm a preseason junkie, and I go through all the beat reporters and literally look at all of them. And Rudge has been getting some rave reviews in camp, so... that's a great pick there. Good value there at the 204. 205, Eric.
I just want to say about Ronald Jones compared to Leonard Fournette, he's literally better at every single advanced metric. Ronald Jones than Leonard Fournette. Fournette took advantage of having fresh legs at the end of a season. And I saw Ronald Jones fractured his finger in week 14. So that might have a little bit to do with why they leaned on Leonard Fournette so much. But
good point.
I just had to throw that out there because I'm actually really high on Ronald Jones this season. Oh, we're getting into like the gross tier here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a wide receiver here. He had 110 targets. Russell Gage, 110 targets last season. He was a wide receiver 3 or better in 7 of 16 games last season as well. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is going to take a lot of that a lot of those vacated targets, but I think there's still plenty of targets for Russell Gage. He's not going to get any higher than that, but I really don't see him. He's not going to dip down to 70 targets all of a sudden or anything like that.
So. Yep.
And you're not paying an arm and a leg for him. He's 1108 right now in ADP. Yep. Wide receiver 50.
I like it.
It's free.
I think I did an article on him too, and I can't get the exact number, but he had a good amount of end zone targets too. It was up there with some of the league leaders as far as end zone targets. So, I mean, obviously end zone's what we want. So if Ryan's looking his way in the end zone, then that's a guy I want on my team for sure. 206, Jay.
Man, yeah, that's a good pick. I like Gage there. I'll take Winston now. Gotta take him off the board. He could be the starting quarterback of that team just for that reason alone. I think he deserves to get picked, despite all his antics.
Yeah,
Jameis Winston.
Going back to my beat reporter thing here with Jameis Winston, because they're playing tomorrow night. I've been doing a lot of research on that game. And one of the reporters put out, it was a whole week long, and it was like passes over 20 yards. And it was like all their quarterbacks, 1, 1, 1, 1. Jameis Winston, 9. It was like so far above everybody else. It was ridiculous how many passes he had over 20 yards. So if he gets that job, he's going to be the big play guy. I think he's chucking the ball down the field to some of those receivers. So for that, at the 206 where you got him, beautiful pick there. 207, Chris.
I'm going to go back to running back because I'm a running back guy. I always seem to hoard as many as I possibly can. And I am a big fan of Latavius Murray. Again, talked about what Kamara's going to do in this offense. I don't really know, but I know they have to give him the ball. I mean, I know last year with Taysom Hill, he didn't do too much, but there's no Michael Thomas right now. I think Traquan Smith got hurt. I don't know how bad that is, but like there's literally no one else. So he needs to be out there, whether he's running out of the slot or whatever. So that gives Murray a chance to get maybe an uptick in some targets, maybe, you know, some catches out of the backfield. You know, he can very quietly put up like 900 yards of total offense this year. So I'll take him at this point with some upside.
Yeah, 207. That's a great pick there. Just one quick question. I asked this to another group, and I just want to ask it to the three of y'all. You know, we always talk about age cliff with running backs. We don't talk about age cliff with the backup running backs, the RB2s. And I think Latavius Murray is, what, 31, 32 years old? And I haven't heard his age mentioned once. But I agree. It doesn't count for some reason for backups. I just thought that was interesting that, you know, he's getting up there in age, and I haven't heard it mentioned once, because I was doing some research on him, and I looked at his stat sheet, and, you know, he's got a good amount of years on that stat sheet. And I was like, this guy's been in the league for quite a while. But yeah, I think it's a great pick there at 207, and he will get some work in that offense for sure. 208, Eric.
Let me get the only pass catching person besides Alvin Kamara with some upside on New Orleans. Give me Adam Troutman in a trash position group. He could legitimately lead that team in targets. Well, he'll be second to Alvin Kamara, but he could be okay. He flashed a little bit last season. I love his pedigree coming out of college. I stashed him everywhere that I could in Dynasty, threw him on the taxi squad. I'm hoping, knock on wood, that pays off this season. But I like Adam Troutman there for sure.
Good stuff. And now we're at, what are we at, the 209, Jay?
Yeah, that was the last guy I really liked was Troutman, so he got me there. I'll take Gronk. I'm a Pats fan, so me and Gronk go way back. So he had 45 receptions last year. There's a little gas in the tank left there.
Yeah.
You know, Brady likes to throw to Gronk, so at that position, like Eric said, like no depth at tight end, so Gronk could still be a tight end one, you know, back end.
Yep, exactly. Like,
he gets enough volume.
Tight ends at this point are usually your touchdown or bust, and if you're going to bet on touchdowns, Gronk's a pretty good choice to bet on for sure with Tom Brady as his quarterback. All right, we're at the 210, Chris, at the home stretch here, and there's not a whole lot left.
Man, why am I taking all of Sam Darnold's past options here? Terrace Marshall has been like a guy that I've been watching throughout these camps here, and I keep seeing his name. They're going to use him out of the slot, it looks like, right now. Which, I mean, again, being a Jets fan, I've seen Jamison Crowder have a lot of success with Sam Darnold out of the slot, and he does need a safety blanket, which, I mean, that's what McCaffrey's going to probably be too. But, you know, I'm taking Terrace Marshall. He is climbing up my boards day by day. So,
yeah,
love it here.
Yep, and that upside is there for sure. I think, you know, with Terrace Marshall, he was one of those guys that in the draft process kept rising up my board as well. Just with the way he was showing out and his measurables and everything else. So great pick. 211, Eric.
Chris, I definitely thought you were taking Dan Arnold there. I was about to be like, let's go. But I guess, I mean, I'm going to continue on with the New Orleans pass catchers here. Traquan Smith, I did not see that he was injured, so I don't know what the severity of that is either. But 11.4%, 20%, 8% target to touchdown percentage over his three NFL seasons. That is higher than A.J. Brown's, that incredible 2019 season that he had. So he's shown, I mean, he's got big playability. If Jameis gets the job, to your point, Jeff, he's throwing all those bombs downfield. He could be worth something. So at this point in the draft, I'm just searching for someone, anyone with some upside.
Definitely.
So I think he's probably the best one out of there.
Yeah, I like Traquan Smith. I've been a truther. I drafted him in the third round his rookie season. I've been like, come on, Traquan Smith season, please. It's got to be this year, right? So hopefully that injury isn't serious and he can get back on the field. All right, Jay, bring us home here. You got the 212.
Yeah, not a lot of upside left. I'll go with a guy that could be maybe get you some PPR play at the back position. Gio Bernard, he's in Tampa Bay. Brady likes to throw to backs, and he's the only one who really can catch well there. Jones, that's not his thing. Fournette, I haven't liked what I've been hearing about him in this offseason, so why not? Gio Bernard.
I like it.
Maybe get you 10.
I like it. And the fact that Fournette's still sitting on the board is kind of interesting to me as well, too, with the whole playoff Lenny thing.
He's
and
everybody waiting for the playoffs.
So. Yeah, and unfortunately, that doesn't help us in fantasy for the real playoffs to be, so agreed. All right, so let's get to our new segment.
Going for Two Live and PlayPickup.com present
the pickup props of the week.
All right. So the way this works, guys, we have teamed up with Play Pickup. They are they create prop bets that can be embedded into articles, which is kind of cool. Adds a little bit of a feature to the article. You can interact with the article a little bit. The cool thing is, if you go in there and you vote, it's legal in all 50 states. If you go in there and vote for your prop bet over under, you get it right, you get points, and you can build up more and more points, and you can get free stuff like Fanatic gift cards. They give out free bowling games. So it's a way to kind of, interact with the article and have a little bit of fun with it. So we're gonna have a new segment this year where we're gonna go through a couple of the prop bets that they have for that week. But for now, we're gonna do some season totals here. And first up, we got Jonathan Taylor's total games with 100 rushing yards, over under 4.5. Eric,
I think that's a great line. Honestly, so I'm looking at his game log here from his rookie season. He had three. I mean, he kind of had four. He had 253 yards against the Jaguars.
He counted twice.
17, but so 4.5 is the number. I'm going to go. I think he gets four, so I'm going to go under. I'm not as high on Jonathan Taylor as everybody else, even before the Carson Wentz and the Quentin Nelson stuff. I think I had him projected out at RB10. I just don't like. I don't think he's getting any passing work. I'll go under.
All right, fair enough, Chris. What you got?
Yeah, I had him at RB10 as well, and I moved him down to RB12. But, I mean, 500-yard game, that seems like a lot. So with these concerns with the quarterback and Nelson, I think four is a pretty good number. I'll have to go under, though.
All right. And, Jay, you going to sweep this one? You going to go under as well?
I mean, I want to go. I like Taylor. I like him a little more than you guys did, although I am moving him down because of those things. Only three guys did it last year, went over the 4.5, so I will go slightly under. I wrote almost exactly what Eric said. Four probably could get to, but I'll go slightly under.
Good stuff. So the field actually thinks he will go over. I think some of that's probably just hype, the name and everything else. They probably didn't really do the research on this. I agree. I think it's going to be under as well. But, yeah, at 67% went over on this one. The next one, will ETN lead the Jags in rushing yards? Not total yards, rushing yards. And Jay, we'll go to you first on this one.
Rushing yards makes it interesting. With all the talk about how much they're going to use him in the pass game, that has gotten me more and more into Robinson having more of a role than maybe I thought he first might. So actually going to go that he won't, that Robinson will.
All right.
Just because I think they're going to use ETN so many different ways that I think Robinson could sneak in and have the most rushing yards up team.
Yeah, he could have like a Alvin Kamara type rookie season where he was viable in that passing game so much compared to Mark Ingram. So I like it. What about you, Chris?
Like the poll says, I'm going to say no way. I'm a little bit higher on J-Rob than I think most people are. I had him like, I just did my write-up on him last week. I think I had him like running back 24 or 25. So I still think he gets the majority of the carries. And he'll have more yards, like 200 to 300 more yards. So won't even be that close.
All right. And Eric, you going to sweep this one as well? Or you got a different take?
We're so boring. I'm going to sweep it. the Jaguars had 1,519 rushing yards in 2020. I could see them increasing, in efficiency a little bit. So let's say 1,700 yards. I think, as Chris said, I think Robinson is going to be the primary ball carrier on first and second down. ETN is going to get peppered with targets. I love, love, love ETN, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But yeah, I'll go ahead and sweep it.
All right. And the poll was really close on this one. It was no way at a 51%. So a very, very close race there on whether or not he will lead it in rushing yards. Two more. We got how many receiving yards will Calvin Ridley have? And the line is set at over under 1,200. And Chris, I'll go to you first this time.
Oh, it's not even close. I have him at 1,496 yards, so way over. One of my favorites in fantasy is Ridley, so way over on this one.
Good stuff. Jay, what do you got?
Yeah, is that a Vegas line, too? Because I want to. I go way over that, too.
Yeah.
1,374 last year with Julio, so.
Yeah, in fairness to pick up play, they actually are a newer company. They're just getting started, so they're still kind of filling out these prop bets. So some of them might be a little bit lower than the Vegas lines, but as they progress, I assume they're probably going to get a little bit closer to what Vegas has. Eric, you going over as well?
Way, way, way over. I'm with you, Jay. Let me see if I can talk to my wife real quick. I'm going to throw about $1,000 on this one. It's going to be, yeah. No, I love Calvin Ridley. I think he's wide receiver 3 for me going into this. He's a lock for 160 targets. Like, just push. Yeah, it's over for sure.
Yep, I agree. And so does the field. They're at 95% over. So I think one person probably went under. All right, and the final one here, and this is, you talked a little bit about it earlier, Eric, with his consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards. Mr. Mike Evans, receiving yards total this season. Does he get his, seventh? It'll be his seventh in consecutive 1,000-yard season, which is already an NFL record at 6. So does he go over 1,000, Eric?
I'm actually going to say no. I think he goes under for the first time in his career. I'm trying to figure out his pace real quick from week 9 since – when Antonio Brown entered the fold, if you will, they were all top 3, or excuse me, they're all top 21 wide receivers from that point. So I think it's going to be a lot of cannibalization, if that's a word. I don't even know.
it is now.
to kind of each other's targets, or excuse me, receiving yards. So I'll go under.
All right. Chris.
That's only 58 yards a game on a 17-game season. And I don't know if it was on the show or before the show, we talked about his two catches for 2 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I'm going to go slightly over. I have him at 1,087. So it's pretty close, but I'll say slightly over.
Eric, I saw you shaking your head. You forgot about that extra game, didn't you?
Literally this entire offseason. I just can't wrap my head around it. I don't know. I'm an old man. I'm like, no change.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing with records too. I'm predicting teams' records and I'm like, oh yeah, they'll go 10-6. I'm like, oh yeah, they got an extra game in there. Yeah, exactly.
So can I change my answer? I just looked at his 16 game pace from the weeks 9 to 17. It's 1,266.
Oh, so yeah, yards. He gets it. And Jay, you gonna sweep it?
It's hard to bet on someone who's never done it. He did save it last year. I mean, 291 yards week 14 and 15. Like, he wasn't headed there.
You're right.
And that Detroit game where they weren't trying, that's really what saved him. But it is 17 games. Like Chris said, like, he doesn't have to do that much. And I feel like Tom Brady will get him. They'll just pepper him to
get it. Yeah. I think they did that even last year. They were going to him early in that game to get it. And then he got hurt, I think, on the catch that he actually made the 1,000 yards. He got hurt.
He had 46 in week 16 to get it just over.
Yep.
Like, so it was like exact amount. So.
All right, let's quick pay some bills here. Prop Bets meets DFS at Thrive Fantasy. Download the app for iOS or Android. Build your lineup of over under prop bets to win. It's that easy. Use promo code Armchair to get a deposit match up to $50. Again, download Thrive Fantasy app. Use promo code Armchair and get a deposit match up to $50.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. And we all joked about this division and how brutal it is. If you thought last division was brutal, wait till you get to this one. This is the AFC South. Again, 2-round super flex PPR. Eric, you got the 101.
This might be the only pick I feel good about this entire AFC South mock draft. No, I'm going Derrick Henry. He really legitimately – he's going to score 20 plus touchdowns. That's my like bold prediction or whatever. His offense only got better. I know the track record for running backs coming off of a 2,000 yard season is not great. However, I don't have any scientific basis behind this, but he is 100% built different than any running back I don't think we've ever seen. Like, Brandon Jacobs was his size, but you know, Brandon Jacobs was never like Derrick Henry as far as this goes. And like I said, this offense got so much better. So Derrick Henry, cha-ching. Oh, God, the rest of this draft's going to be terrible.
And Jay, you got the 102.
102, super flex. I had Ryan Tannehill, perennially underrated Tannehill. I'm going to go with him. QB7 overall last year, even 10th in average. More weapons this year with Julio. I don't think you can go wrong. I think he's such a value at like the turn of quarterbacks at the 12-13 range right in there, which is where he tends to go. Kind of why you should wait in one QB. He's really good, and I expect him to do similar things this year with more weapons.
Yeah, and he's extremely efficient, which you wouldn't have said that in his Miami days, but he's been very, very efficient. You know, he doesn't get as much passing volume as some of these quarterbacks do, but he's efficient with what he does have. So I love that pick there. 103, Chris.
Got to say, I love Tannehill as well. That was my pick. I have him in a couple of dynasty leagues, and I'm all on board with Tannehill this year. All right, we just talked about it, but I'll go Jonathan Taylor. He's still an elite runner. He's still a great running back, even though we have him moved down our ranks a little bit. But with this division and how not deep, shallow it is, I guess, was the word I'm looking for. I'll grab Taylor here.
All right. I think those picks were all fairly chalk, and now we're at the 105. Eric, it's getting a little more interesting now.
It is definitely getting a little more interesting here. So we're at the 105. I really am debating between two players here. One's a quarterback, but hold on. Let me make sure he's not taken yet. Okay, we're good. A.J. Brown. Let me get A.J. Brown. We just talked about Ryan Tannehill's going to be awesome. That offense is great. A.J. Brown is finally, I mean, he's going to be the center of defensive attention as far as the secondary goes. But what can you really do when you have Julio Jones on the other side of the formation there? So yep. I'll take A.J. Brown. Love him. He is potentially, you know, the wide receiver one in Dynasty as well.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And going into last year, people are like, oh, he can't keep up that efficiency. You know, he can't maintain all that. And he did exactly that. He actually was better. So I agree. A.J. Brown's a great pick there. The 105, Jay.
105, if you're sitting at this position in a draft like this, you look at the rest of the quarterbacks available and you go like, I have to take Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
There's something out of this. And really, because it's super flex, there's a couple other good guys, and then we're going to get real gross here. But Trevor Lawrence, number one pick. I like a lot of the weapons in that offense. It's rookie year, so we'll see. But you could do worse, and especially in this division, than Trevor Lawrence for your team this year at quarterback.
Yeah, it's crazy how Justin Herbert has set that rookie bar so impossibly high that everyone just assumes now that they're going to come in and be all world, and it's not always the case. 106, Chris.
Let's go Julio Jones. I'm a little bit down on him compared to where everyone has him being drafted. I think around like receiver 16, something like that. I still think it's a low-end wide receiver, too. And again, in this division, he's elite with these other names that are on the list.
Definitely. Eric at 107.
Okay, so this is legitimately, after this pick, I think is where it gets, like, really, really bad. I'll take Travis Etienne. It's going to be peppered with targets, like I talked about earlier. He's going to end up being the lead back at some point in the season. So I'll definitely – he's. I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball a ton as well. This defense is terrible. So that's why I was with you, Jay. I was debating between A.J. Brown and Trevor Lawrence. So.
All right. And the 108, Jay.
Yeah, that was chalk. That was my top seven. So so we're in uncharted territory here. Brandon Cooks is going to be my pick at eight here. Underrated, 115 targets, 81 catches last year, 1,150 yards. So I don't think he's doing that again with the quarterback situation there. I don't really know what it is right now. You got to, I guess, expect Taylor. So I wouldn't expect those numbers, but he could still get over 1,000 yards. So I think he is a sneaky kind of wide receiver you can play.
Yeah,
wide receiver three type.
Someone's going to catch passes there, right? I mean, they can't trade everybody away. So Brandon Cooks is as good as any. 109, Chris.
I'm going to go upside here. Talk about Etienne getting peppered with targets. I don't really know which is the right person to take for the Jaguars wide receiving group. But if I'm going to go upside, I'm going to take Laviska Shenault here. They can move him all over the field. They love him. I mean, I'm a Chark fan too. But, you know, Shenault had a decent rookie campaign. He ran the ball here. He got, 79 targets. I think that's going to go up. You can probably see him getting closer to 95 to 100, so I'll lock that in at this point.
Yeah, I could see him getting carried out of the backfield and, jet sweeps and all that kind of stuff. That's definitely in his role. All right, we are at the 110, Eric.
I'm going to go James Robinson here. We just talked about that prop bet. He's going to lead this team, in rushing yards. I think he's probably still the goal line or the back around the goal line. I'm not sure how many opportunities they're going to have there, and I'm curious to see how they use Travis Etienne around there as well. But, yeah, James Robinson for me there.
All right, good stuff. And we are up to 111. And, Jay, before you give your pick, if you could just kind of take us through your thought process on who you have, because I want to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of who's on the board right now.
who I have.
Yeah, like who are you trying to decide between? What are the guys you're
decide between? Oh, yeah, there's a couple guys. I'm debating running back in Nyheim Hines here. I'm debating DJ Chark. It kind of like sort of safety versus a little upside with Chark there. But I think ultimately I'd go DJ Chark.
DJ Chark, yeah, that's a good pick there. You know, a couple years ago he was all the rage and then had a down season last year.
Yeah, kind of what Chris was saying, someone catching balls there. They have three guys, and I'm not totally sure which one's, you know, going to be the top one.
Yep.
I think we kind of forget how good Chark was, so, and LaVisca's getting a lot of hype, but I think Chark could be the guy, so I think he's worth a shot at this point.
Yep, definitely. And looking at the board here, so when I was doing this, I was deciding if I wanted to make this a tight end premium sort of mock draft for some of these. I think in this division, I can make tight end premium like 3 points per catch, and I don't think these tight ends are still getting drafted.
There were tight ends that
existed. It's pretty brutal. All right, Chris, you're up at the back-to-back.
I'm going to take the only pass catcher that I can trust in Indy here, and Jay just said it, it's Marlon Mack. Not Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines.
I was like, Marlon Mack.
Nyheim Hines. Jordan Wilkins. Yes.
Oh, my God. If I could talk tonight, that'd be great. Jordan Wilkins. Nyheim Hines, yeah, I mean, this guy's a lock for third down work, catching the ball in the backfield. They're probably going to be down a lot in games. I think they have a really tough schedule, like the first 10 weeks of the season, too. So not ideal for Wentz to be out beginning of the season. So let's go Nyheim Hines. And I'm really torn on Houston's backfield. But David Johnson was, you know, the number 21 running back last year. So in this really rough division, I'll take David Johnson to start off round two.
Yeah, good call. And just going back to Nyheim Hines, he single-handedly saved my Scott Fishbowl league last year. I started off 0-4 with all my guys healthy, and then I lost Joe Mixon, I lost Drew Brees. And I drafted Leonard Fournette before he got traded. So my first three picks were already out the door. I went 0-4, and then they all get hurt, and I don't have him anymore. And all of a sudden, Nyheim Hines is having these big games, and I win seven of my last nine games. It was like ridiculous what he did for me last year with those receptions. So I love that Nyheim Hines pick there. Jay, we're back to you with the 102. Sorry, the 202.
It's getting better and better here. I'll go with, let's get the third Jags receiver there. I actually think Marvin Jones also kind of underrated. He's the one you can get at the best ADP. So if you want to just wait and grab one, and he could still be the best there. Last year, weeks 12 to 17, he averaged over 19 points per game last year, which was like ninth overall. So he had a stretch, which he always seems to do.
Yep.
Now he'll be on a different team, but guy always goes off for like three touchdowns in one game, like, yeah, once a year.
Happens at least once a year. Yep.
Can win you a week. So
definitely. All right. So we're up at the 203, Eric, and man, it is getting ugly out there right now.
It's not pretty. That is a fact. So I'm debating. I was hoping Marvin Jones would fall to me. That did not happen, obviously. So I'm debating between Michael Pittman, who I didn't think was very good as a rookie. His situation has gotten markedly worse. As a sophomore here, and Tyrod Taylor, and I don't even like saying that. it's a super flex. I guess I'm going. You see, this is painful. I guess I'm going Tyrod Taylor, but he's like everybody says. Oh, he could you know get fantasy points via his legs. The man has had 32 rushing attempts since 2017.
I love that narrative. I always say that. I'm the same thing. Like, yeah. It's not happening. He's basically Alex Smith. I mean, he's like a dink and dunk, very conservative, doesn't do a whole lot with his legs either. So agree there 100%. 204, Chris.
I wish we can trade out of draft picks in this division and just give up the rest of my picks. future
picks. Put it on auto draft.
Yeah, can you put me on auto draft, please? Oh man, this is brutal. I like Tyrod Taylor. I was going to take him too, just because of super flex, but I mean, we have to take a Colts receiver, right? I mean, we have to at some point. I mean, they have to throw the ball.
In your contract. You must take at least one.
Right. So I'm going to take one here. I'll go purely upside. I'll take Michael Pittman. I don't love it. I mean, I'm not really excited about it, but you know, I don't know. You got to take somebody here. T.Y. Hilton, he's getting up there in age, his injury concerns. And Paris Campbell, yeah, he was the bright future, but you know, he's only had 24 catches the last two seasons. So give me Pittman, and hopefully he can emerge as the number one.
Yeah, y'all poo-pooing on Pittman. I actually liked Pittman coming this year. I actually bought him pre-Carson Wentz injury, hoping he'd be the alpha there. I'm not so optimistic anymore, though, so that situation's a little bit rough right now. Jay, we're up to you at the 205.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I heard you say tight end premium. I know that it wasn't this, but I'm gonna pretend that it is, and I'm gonna go the Firkser. No Johnny anymore. A lot of vacated targets. That was kind of the narrative with Tennessee going into this year, was all these vacated targets. Julio could take some of them. I'm gonna take all of them. So he still has a chance. Was 39 receptions last year and 50 targets. So he was involved. So I expect him to be involved a little bit more. And he went once again tight end. Is a wasteland, so Firkser could flirt with tight end one.
Yeah, tight end is a wasteland, in the NFL in general after the first, six or seven. In this division, the tight end is truly, truly a wasteland. There's literally nobody that you really are happy starting in this league. 206, Eric.
Purely for the upside, and because there's literally no one to throw the ball to besides Brandon Cooks in Houston, I'm going to go Nico Collins, 6'4", 215. 89th percentile speed score, 94th percentile catch radius. That's what we're looking for. I mean,
yep.
He's got the prototypical build and attributes of an X wide receiver. So, not an X wide receiver. He's not moving to a different position, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, pure upside there, Nico Collins.
Agreed. 207, Chris.
All right, I'll take Carson Wentz.
It's got to happen eventually, right? It's super
someone
flex.
Someone has to take Carson Wentz. I mean, if he misses 5 weeks, he comes back, week one or two of the season, and, potential to be a top 20 quarterback for fantasy. And for super flex, you got to have a second one. So give me Carson Wentz.
All right, yeah, I was wondering when he was going to go. He was going to go at all. But, yeah, I agree. I think Carson Wentz, if he is, we just assume all the worst with Carson Wentz, so we're all just in our heads 12 weeks. But you're right. If it's 5 weeks, he's back week two. You're not too worse off. 208, Jay.
I can't believe I have two picks left. This is unbelievable. But, I'll go pure upside, similar to Nico. We already mentioned him. Paris Campbell. I mean, that guy was kind of upside, 4.3 speed guy coming out of Ohio State. I really liked him back then. I thought he was going to be, just can't stay healthy.
Yep.
Sometimes that turns around, so you're really going to gamble. Third year's a charm. It looked pretty good week one last year and then got hurt again. So if he could just stay healthy, I don't know who's throwing him the ball, but why not here?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Eric, 209.
I just want to say I can hear the pain in everybody's voices when they're making these picks, and, yeah. And it gives me just immense pleasure. let's go Philip Lindsay. He's a former 1,000-yard rusher. What if they cut David Johnson? I don't know what his cap situation looks like. Are they saving money? I mean, it's David Johnson's Mark Ingram. He, at 27 years old, Philip Lindsay is the young man on that crew. So I'll go just in case something weird happens and the starters are gone.
Yeah, I like that call there because we have no idea what that backfield is going to look like. That's probably one of the worst backfields in the NFL right now with those three guys. We don't know what's going on there. Chris, it is your last pick. You can end the misery here. Which pick you taking here? 210.
All right. I mean, getting sniped in drafts is pretty painful. But in a draft like this where Eric keeps taking the one guy that, I'm like, all right, I can take him now, and then makes me pivot every time, it's like it hurts. But to end the misery, give me Mo Alie-Cox. I mean, again, who's going to catch the ball here? I don't know. I think Jack Doyle is going to be kind of relegated to being blocker duty here. Especially with Quentin Nelson now, he might have to be blocking more often. So Mo Alie-Cox, he'll be a safety blanket for Eason and Wentz. Wentz says you'll always use the tight ends in his repertoire. So give me Mo Alie-Cox and pretend this is a 3-point tight end premium.
I love it. And Mo Alie-Cox is another DFS MVP of mine. I played him, I think, one game last year, and I hyped him up on the show, and I played him in that league, and he had 2 touchdowns, I believe, that game. So. He's huge, so he can be that red zone guy and catch touchdowns if need be. All right, Jay, 211. I'm ending your misery here. This is your last pick. Yes,
last pick. This is a guy, actually, I mean, as a guy, kind of a stash. They got to run the ball with someone else in Tennessee, I feel. You got to offload Henry a little. I'll take Darrington Evans. I liked him coming out like 4-4 speed guy, can catch the ball a little bit. I feel like you got to work someone else in there to lighten the workload. I mean, Henry, I mean, he's made differently, like you said, Eric, but kind of someone else has to get involved. He was like hurt all last year. So yep. Maybe this year. And if for some reason Henry missed any games, I kind of like him. So
yeah,
he's a complete dart throw, but we'll take Evans here.
And Darrington Evans, I don't know if y'all saw this on Twitter, but he's a big supporter of the fantasy football community. He actually came out in support of, I guess someone must have called out a player and the player got pissed off and he came to support him, like, hey, you know, these guys are out here grinding, you know, like we were when we were trying to get into the NFL. So for that reason alone, I think I want to have him on my team. So I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, that's was mostly the reason.
Yeah. All right, Eric, put us all out of our misery. This is the 212 last pick. What you got?
This is like the bullet, right? We just put ourselves out of our misery. Is that too dark? Sorry. Deshaun Watson. I mean, I'm cutting literally any other player that I pick here. Marlon Mack, I mean, T.Y. Hilton, maybe something happens to where whatever punishment might – I'm not a legal expert. I don't know how this is going to work out, but maybe whatever punishment gets deferred until, you know, 2022 or something. So at the last pick in the draft in the Superflex League, if he plays one game, I'm happy.
You're happy. Exactly.
At this point.
Yep, 100% agree. All right, that wraps up the AFC and the NFC South mock drafts. Let's get to the last segment of the night.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Eric, I will go to you first for your Forgotten Fantasy Player.
Steve Slayton. So everyone knows, you know, the prolific running back in the what was it, the late 2000s and early 2010s was Arian Foster. Steve Slayton actually had an amazing 2008, his rookie season.
Yep.
He ended as the RB7, 318 touches, 1,659 scrimmage yards, and 10 touchdowns. And he was he was taken in the 12th, at the end of the 12th round that season. So, but really it was special to me because somehow I got Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte and Steve Slayton on the same team that year.
Wow.
Peterson was RB4. Matt Forte was RB3. And I don't think I lost a game. Like, I literally won. I was the 72 Dolphins, basically. Won every single game. I don't remember the other players on my team, but I remember those three. So for that reason, Steve Slayton, thank you, my man.
Yep. That was back when they still had workhorse backs, getting those 300-plus carries pretty regularly. I like it. Yeah, that's a great one. That is a great one. All right, Jay, what you got for yours?
I had Steve Slayton, I think, back then, too. Yeah, it was like 1 year, too, right?
Yep.
And then it just went away, yeah. This is probably a lot of people's had a good run with this guy. Zach Stacy in 2013, his one good year, 250 rush yards, two rushes, 973 yards, seven touchdowns. The story, though, behind it is I remember picking him off waivers, getting like a Roto World when it was Roto World still. Tip, like, he's gonna take the job. They had, like, Darryl Richardson and Benny Cunningham. And he goes off, he takes the job for a stretch, but we did keepers in that league. So I traded him. I gave my friend the choice of him or Lev Bell, who was in his rookie year at that point, and said, pick one. We did a trade. I forget who I got. They helped me make a playoff run. I didn't win that year, but he chose Stacy. I kept Lev Bell the next year. And then he went off in 2014 and I won the championships there. So nice. I got to, you know, have Stacy for that just brief period of time. Because nice. He never had more than 100 carries in a year again. So.
That's funny. Yeah, and longtime viewers of the show, and Kyle actually is one of them. He mentioned in the chat here, one of our regulars, AJ Smithington, always calls this the Zach Stacy Award in the chat. And I don't think anybody's ever picked Zach Stacy, even though he calls it the Zach Stacy Award. And Kyle just pointed out in the chat that Zach Stacy finally got this Forgotten Fantasy Player Award. So good stuff. Great pull there.
I could give him that respect for definitely. Zach Stacy. Finally. Yep.
Finally got it after we've been in this segment like almost 3 years now, and I don't think he's ever been used. So it's kind of cool that you finally got him in there. All right, guys, that wraps the podcast up. Let's go around the room. Give us your Twitter handle. And if you want to plug anything that you're working on, Eric, we'll go to you first.
You can find me on Twitter at FantasyBBQ. I throw some sort of food picks out there occasionally. Mostly it's just bad fantasy football takes. Right now, I'm actually working on a best values for each round of your fantasy football draft. I'm probably going to go 16 rounds or so. Hopefully, I'll have that finished this weekend. And then you can find me on the Fantasy Friends podcast. I do it with my two best friends. We're moving to Tuesday night so we can stop competing against Jeff over here. So Tuesday nights is going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern. Come join us. Talk some trash. We are very much not a we're explicit. Put it that way.
A little bit more explicit than this show. All right, Jay.
Yeah, you can find me at JC_DFF on Twitter. Also do the podcast with my brothers, like I mentioned before, Brothers of Dynasty. We are at Bros of Dynasty. You can check us out there. For going for two, I have a David Montgomery player outlook dropping tomorrow. Also working on a Dynasty kind of stash article, kind of strategy with that, maybe some stashes that you could do for Dynasty. And then also, like you led with at the top, starting this fall, doing a show for you on Going for Two Friday nights, the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. And yeah, so excited to do that. And that's what I got going on.
Great stuff. And Chris.
Muted myself. So follow me at the Commish FF on Twitter. I said Thursday nights, the Dynasty Gambit. I'll be on during the season. But yeah, just follow me on Twitter for anything new and exciting happening. I'll be sharing it all there. The Practice Squad podcast hopefully will be coming back soon. Still in the works. So but yeah, just follow me on Twitter, and I said everything related to me will be on there.
Good sooner stuff. Or later. Good stuff, guys. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. And I do a terrible job of plugging our show Twitter handle. It is at Going for Two Live. So you can also check out all of our shows there as well. If you haven't joined the DFS contest yet, make sure you get in there. That's goingfortwo.com/grinder21. It's free to enter. It's a charity contest for a good cause. All goes to Toys for Tots. Help us get to our goal. For Jay, for Eric, for Chris, I'm Jeff. We will see y'all next week.